Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We are in the middle of a series on the promise, God's everlasting covenant. And what's amazing about God's promises, He always keeps His promises. Mm-hmm. Today, we're going to be blessed as we study together about children of the promise. And that's not just the children of Abraham, but that's each one of us. Some amazing promises that will bring joy to your heart. So welcome to Hope Sabbath School. We're glad you're with us. And welcome to the team.
Hello.
Gideon's band, take a look. Just five of us still, distance apart. And yet God is going to bless our study today, I know, in an amazing way. We're always happy to hear from you, our Hope Sabbath School members from around the world. And you know that we're in a pandemic just as you are, but we believe that God can work all things for good to those who love Him. So as you write to us and share how God is calling you to a deeper devotion to Him, we're encouraged. You can write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. Here's a note from Marcia in Jamaica. And Marcia writes and says, "Hi, I watch Hope Sabbath School to prepare for my Sabbath School class. Your study is most enlightening. I'm glued to my screen." I don't know how you translate that into Swahili, but basically she's saying, I just can't stop watching once I start watching the program, and I will continue to watch. Continue your awesome work for the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Marcia, thanks for writing to us from Jamaica. We're glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. Here's a note from Jasmine. Jasmine lives in Toronto, Canada, and says, "I watch your Bible study every week." And I like this next sentence, Billy. "My fiance and I study the Bible together." What do you think?
Amen.
Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
If you can find a life companion and you say, "I'm thinking about sharing my life with this person," and you're studying the Word of God together, I'd say that's a good sign, don't you?
It is.
Praise God. Thank you, Jasmine, for writing to us. God bless you and your fiance. Well, here's a note from a donor in California. And I just want to pause and thank all of our donors. We're a donor-supported ministry. And, you know, God wants you to partner in this great miracle called Hope Sabbath School. Thank you to this donor. Says, "First, I wish to express my appreciation to you for the ministry of Hope Sabbath School, the inspiring messages, the lessons that you give to viewers that help their walk with Jesus, and preparation for His soon return to take us home to the place preparing for us." That's a long sentence, but I think the viewer is excited that we can study the Word of God together. "I cannot wait to meet you all. Please accept this small donation. In these late years of my life, I praise God that He's blessed me with a little extra to share His blessings with Hope Sabbath School." Amen?
Amen.
"May this gift be multiplied beyond the loaves and the fishes." Well, that's a Bible story, isn't it? Five loaves, two fish. God feeds a multitude to bring glory to His name by the salvation of many added to His kingdom, and a donation of $120.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you so much, California, and everywhere else in the world where you're saying, "I'd like to partner in this ministry where God is transforming lives." Well, here's one from my home country of the United Kingdom. In fact, the person who wrote it was my Sabbath school teacher I was a little boy.
Wow.
Sylvia and Garth Anthony write, and they say, "We've been enjoying Hope Sabbath School virtually ever since we retired from mission work abroad. Our last assignment was in Cambodia and was one of the happiest times of our ministry. We still remember Derek as a little boy in our Sabbath School class. It's hard to imagine the man who leads with Hope Sabbath School is the same person." Well, Sylvia, it's me. And thank you for writing to Hope Sabbath School. But isn't that a tribute to someone who taught the Word of God to a little child, now happens to be one of the team members at Hope Sabbath School? Thanks for writing to us. Here's one last note from Audrey, is a Zimbabwean living in Nevada. Now, I'm sure there's a story behind that transfer, right? Mm-hmm. But Audrey writes and says, my family and I have been watching Hope Sabbath School for many years now. May the good Lord continue to bless this ministry. You've helped me a lot to understand the Word of God and grow spiritually. And we say,
Amen.
That's why we do this, right? Praise God. I'm a Zimbabwean living in Nevada. Greet everyone, especially Simiso. Well, Simiso's not here today, but he is from Zimbabwe, as you know. Mm-hmm. We miss seeing the whole team. May the Lord heal this nation and end the pandemic. Well, Audrey, that's our prayer, not just for the country where we're filming, but all around the world. But isn't it amazing that God can work good even in the midst of a pandemic?
Yes. Yes.
We have more people requesting Bible studies. By the way, you can go to hopebiblestudy.org and you can request Bible studies on prophecy or themes of the Bible. And we have more people requesting Bible studies than ever before. Amen. So God is working in the midst of this challenging time.
Amen.
Right now, we need to have you sing with us. We're not allowed to sing here in the studio right now, but you can sing at home. Our theme song is a 3,000-year-old scripture song from Psalm 105, verses 1 to 5. It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name. Let's sing together right now.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name.
Together. Father in heaven, we are excited that we can call upon your name even now and ask that by your Holy Spirit, you would bless not only our study, but as each Hope Sabbath School member around the world joins us in this in-depth, interactive study of your word, that we would rejoice that we are children of the promise. Mm. Those beautiful promises given to Abraham are also promises that are ours in Christ Jesus. Mm. So please guide us in our study today. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Open your Bible to Genesis chapter 15 as we begin our study today. It's really quite amazing to think that the promises that were given to Abram, as he was still called, not yet changed to Abraham, our promises for us today. And Haiti, I'm wondering if you could begin our study by reading Genesis 15 and verse 1.
All right, I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward.
So first thing, and we're going to divide this up if we can. The first thing is, don't be afraid. Mm-hmm. Why might Abraham be afraid? What's going on here, Billy?
So I think in the previous chapter, he just went to war with a lot of kings, basically new enemies that he formed. So his life was kind of like in danger. So he had a target in his back. So people were looking out to do something bad to him.
You know, I didn't even know the names of all of those kings. I did read chapter 14, and it's like a confederation,
yes,
isn't it?
Yeah.
And they all attack, eventually they attack Sodom and Gomorrah, and we find they take his brother's son, his nephew Lot, captive and all of the family. You can read about it. But you're saying just delivering Lot and his family and all the other inhabitants would make him an enemy of all of those other kings and that confederation.
Yeah.
That's a reason why he might be afraid. Anybody else? Why would the Lord come to him and say, "Fear not, Abraham"? Jason?
Well, God had promised that through his descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And at this time, he has no descendants. He has no children.
So there's a bigger fear that he could embrace if he chose to take his eyes off the Lord, right? And that is, will the promises of God be fulfilled? But I think the presenting issue is what Billy said, this confederation, because what's the next thing that Haiti read? Don't be afraid. What?
On your shield.
What does that say to you? I am your shield.
Well, a shield is something that we use to deflect an attack from something that is going to hurt us or harm us. And honestly, if God told me I'm providing a shield for you, I would be content with that. If he says I'm providing you a holy shield. But he doesn't just say I'm providing a shield. He says I am your shield. I am what is deflecting an attack on you. I am the one that's protecting you from something that wants to harm you or hurt you, me, myself, personally. And that, to me, just that takes it to a whole other level.
Travis, take your point just a second. You know, Haiti, that really hit me, too. It's not just, here's a shield.
Yeah.
It's like anyone who's going to get to you has to come through me. I am your shield. Travis?
We get the same idea when you read the story of Job. Because Satan wants to do things to him, and he's saying, well, the only reason he loves you is because you placed a hedge around him. So we see that God wants to place this hedge of protection around Abraham as well.
And that hedge, if I read Scripture correctly, is the holy angels, the angels of the Lord that camp around us. This is moving it to the next level even, isn't it? I am your shield.
Yeah.
You know, that's a powerful thought. Do you see that anywhere else in Scripture, this idea that the Lord is our shield? Jason, does the text come to mind?
So David has it all throughout the Psalms. there's some in 18. My favorite one is actually Psalm 91.
Okay.
The idea of protection. So
the idea
shield,
of protection.
Psalm 18 has the idea of the shield, and then Psalm 91 has the whole idea of protection.
Why don't we start with Psalm 18, and then if you want to take us to Psalm 91, is it?
Yes.
Which talks about protection.
Sure. So Psalm chapter 18, verse 30, and I have the New King James Version here. It says, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him."
Is there something added, Stephanie, there, besides just the Lord saying to Abraham, "I'm your shield"? There's something understood in that relationship that we ought to know, right?
That you trust him.
Ah, okay. So someone doesn't just pull that out and say, well, I can go anywhere and do anything because the Lord's my shield. That trust relationship, Stephanie?
And I was thinking, you know, a shield doesn't mean that you are protected from everything bad happening in your life.
Okay.
It means that you trust the Lord in all things. And that's what we see with Abraham. Even when he was taken from his homeland, that may not have been the most desirable thing for him to do, but he trusted God and knew that he would get him through.
And certainly that's reinforced by something, Travis, you said earlier with Lot. Lots of things happened to Lot, but if you read the, But if you read the book of Job, the Lord says you can do this, but you can't do that.
Exactly.
Right? Yes. So it's clear that the Lord is his shield, even though, as you say, Stephanie, some bad things. The enemy did some bad things to him. Travis?
I was just thinking, too, a shield is something that you have to lift up and put there. So it's like when you're facing something, you know, you can just use the word of the Lord and say, you know, claim that promise.
And there you're speaking of the Bible as a shield, which is also in the Scripture, right? The sword of the Spirit, and you've got the shield of faith. But this one, it's the Lord. So instead of picking up the Lord, what do I do?
Trust him.
What do I do?
Stand behind him.
That's right. You know, I say, Lord, all right, you've got me covered, literally.
Right.
Yes.
Literally. I am your shield. Jason, you mentioned another psalm that's that's meaningful to you, yeah, that reinforces this idea. Someone's watching Hope Sabbath School today, maybe you're watching, and you're saying, I feel like I need some protection. Well, we've got good news. The Lord is your shield. Mm-hmm. How do you see that illustrated in Psalm 91? What verses would you like to read?
So I'll go 1-4.
All right. Does it tell us there who wrote Psalm 91?
I believe the understanding is David wrote this.
Okay. You know, psalms are written by different people, right? There's a number of psalmists, we would say if it's not mentioned, a good guess would be David, right? But verses 1-4 of Psalm 91, how does that read?
Yes. So I've got the New King James Version here, Psalm chapter 91, verses 1-4. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. Mm. His truth shall be your shield and buckler.
Mm. There's several images there. What did you hear in terms of protection?
Fortress. Mm-hmm.
Fortress, shadow. Yes, yes. That could be like I'm your shield, right? Mm-hmm. Stand in my shadow. It's like, okay, Lord, right? But there was some other images there for protection.
Under
wings, I was going to say the
which
same
is
thing.
What kind of, where does that come from?
Isaiah.
That comes from a farm, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like a...
Like a chicken.
Like a mother hen, right? Yeah. Protecting her chicks, mm-hmm. right? So there's several images there, but the message is the same,
yes.
right? The Lord is our shield, mm-hmm. right? Thank you so much for sharing that, Jason. Beautiful insight. So let's just stay there for just a moment, because we're children of the promise. Mm-hmm. And Galatians tells us all of the promises given to Abraham and his physical descendants mm-hmm. are ours in Christ. Mm-hmm. So how do you feel about the Lord being your shield today? Haiti?
Oh, man, like I was saying, I just feel so happy to know that He, when I go before Him and I present any situation to Him, He Himself makes intercession on my behalf between myself and that problem or that issue. And that just means like the world to me. It's comforting to me. And it helps me because like I suffer from anxiety, and I'm sure a lot of Hope Sabbath School viewers do too. And I get so worried about things that I can't control, but that tells me, Haiti, you don't have anything to worry about because God is your shield.
Yeah. It's good news. If the text ended there, don't be afraid, Abraham, I am your shield, mm-hmm. we'd say, hallelujah, my favorite mm-hmm. Hebrew word, right? But what was that next phrase? I am your shield.
Your big reward.
Your
great reward.
Exceedingly
great reward. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know about you, but maybe you can, this is confession time. When we were growing up and thinking about the reward we would get, if we followed God and eventually, what did you think your reward was?
Heaven, mansion.
Yeah. Heaven, maybe, mansion. Yep.
A big fancy house with lots of space. There's even some certain songs that talk about a big house and big yard and, you know, all kinds of fun, cool stuff.
Okay, crown, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Billy, what do you think about when you thought about, well, what's the reward?
Well, honestly, when I'm reading this passage about God being your great reward, it blew everything out of proportion mm-hmm. because you cannot compare God to anything on earth. And at the same time, I'm thinking about how God is so humble that He would offer Himself as a reward to us. So it just demonstrates the fact that He loves us so much that He's willing to offer Himself as a reward, and I'm speechless. I mean, I'll take it, but you know, I'm really happy that God is, basically He redefines what is true reward.
Yes.
So
someone read for us in John the words of Jesus, John 14 and verse 23. Speechless is probably a good response, isn't it? It's just like, I'm your reward, right?
Yeah.
The Lord says, I'm your reward. Stephanie, do you have the word of Jesus there in John 14 and verse 23?
Yes, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him."
Mm-hmm. I'm your reward. Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing.
I'm not just going to invite you to come and visit my house. I'm going to make my home with you. Beautiful, isn't it? If we stopped the study here, I'd be pretty happy already, right? Children of the promise.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Lord is our shield.
Mm-hmm. Exceeding great.
And he's our exceeding great reward.
Yeah.
But there's more promises that the Lord is going to give to Abraham, later called Abraham. Let's go back to chapter 12, because actually the most important promise is found at the end of verse 3.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to ask Jason, if you'd read all three verses to get the context here. He's calling someone out of Ur of the Chaldees, leaving everything behind. And we learned in a previous study, sometimes you have to leave everything behind to become the woman of God or the man of God he wants you to be, right?
Yeah.
You have to leave it all behind. Mm. But I want you, as Jason reads, to particularly listen to the last phrase in verse 3.
I have the New King James Version here, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed."
Now we're going to come back to some of the other promises there about land and great nation, but let's focus on that last part. In you, all the peoples, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. If that was a really important promise, you'd expect it to be repeated, wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. Just like if you've got something really important to say to your children, you may have to say it several times, right?
Yes.
Let's look at a couple of references here in Genesis. Genesis 18, if someone could read verses 17 and 18, and then Genesis 22 and verse 18. Travis, could you read chapter 18 of Genesis, 17 and 18?
Sure. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him."
Mm. Okay. Mm. 22. Who has Genesis chapter 22? Billy, do you have that for
us? Yes.
If you could read for us that verse, verse 18.
22, you mean?
22, verse 18.
Yeah. I'll be reading from the NIV version. Genesis 22, verse 18. "And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me."
So again, there's that trust relationship, right? Mm-hmm. There's this promise. In you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Mm. Now, we're going to see that that is also repeated to one of his descendants in chapter 28 of Genesis. I'm looking at verses 11 through 14. And Jason, if you could read that for us. This we would call the Messiah promise. We're going to unpack how the blessing comes. Jason, Genesis 28, 11 to 14.
The New King James Version says in Genesis chapter 28, verses 11 through 14, "So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, 'I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and the south, and in you and your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed.
Mm. Now, someone help me. What's the context? What's just happened here?
Well, he has just deceived his father and robbed his brother of his inheritance, and he's having now to flee from that situation because his brother wants to kill him.
And he has this dream, we call it Jacob's ladder, right? Which is actually a picture of Messiah joining heaven and earth, right? Mm-hmm. You read that in John chapter 1, right? He is the ladder connecting heaven and earth. Does it surprise you that God didn't back off on his promise after all of this unfaithfulness by Jacob? Jason, does it surprise you?
Well, I would say no, because if you look at his grandfather Abraham, he had a lot of unfaithfulness too. God didn't back off Abraham. God wasn't going to back off Abraham's descendants either.
So what's the lesson?
God keeps his promises.
God is faithful to his promises even when
we're not faithful.
When we're not faithful.
Amen.
Through your seed, through your descendants, the whole world is going to be blessed. Yeah. And how was that fulfilled? Well, there's two, very interesting, in the Gospels, there's two family trees for Jesus. One goes all the way back to Adam. That's the one in Luke's Gospel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the other one in Matthew, well, let's see how it reads. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1. We're looking at a family tree. Stephanie, I see your eyes are looking at Matthew 1 and verse 1. How does that read?
The New King James Version says, "The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham."
Now, that's sequentially kind of mixed up because David lived much later than Abraham. But son of David is a messianic term. Mm-hmm. It's saying he's Messiah, Jesus Messiah. Mm-hmm. And what's the next thing?
Son of Abraham.
Son of Abraham. The promise given to Abraham that all the world would be blessed through his seed is fulfilled in Jesus.
Yes.
How? Well, help me. Someone doesn't know the gospel story. You said, well, you only read a little farther in Matthew 1. It will tell you that his name is called Jesus. Why, Billy?
Save his people.
Because he's saved his people, as Travis says, and also because he fulfills all the promises of being a blessing to other people. And it's not just, you know, the Israelites, but also to the Gentiles. And it basically shows everywhere.
He's Emmanuel, isn't he? He's God with us. Travis?
I think of the verse, he shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. So he came to save the world.
He did. In fact, John 3:16 tells us that, right? Mm-hmm. Not just God so loved the physical descendants of Abraham, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So, through Messiah, who was a descendant of Abraham, the blessing would come, not just for his physical descendants, but for the whole world. When did you come to realize that, personally? Anybody can you just, you say, well, maybe there's someone watching Hope Sabbath School who grew up in a non-Christian home, and they've got a time they first heard the name Jesus. But when did you come personally to realize that you were blessed because of Jesus and what he's done for you? Haiti?
So I was raised in the church, but I've gone through different phases. So when I was a little girl, I would say that I first came to know him. But then in my teenage years, I kind of went a little crazy, honestly. And I was listening to the wrong kind of music and hanging out with the wrong kind of people and going to the wrong kind of places and doing the wrong kind of things. And then I came back to the Lord, and I, you know, surrendered to him wholeheartedly. And then even after that, I shared in a previous lesson that I went as far as doubting that he even existed, which I'm really ashamed of. And something that I've learned through God is that he has loved me through every single phase of my life, whether it was me as a little girl, still innocent and pure and, you know, believing all these miracles, or me, a rebellious teenager, or me even questioning if he was even there. He loved me. And that, to me, that just means so much, you know. It just made me feel like there is this love that goes beyond anything that a human being could offer, that God feels towards me.
No wonder you're thankful that he is your What was it? Your great, exceedingly great reward. It's the one who loves us with an everlasting love. Travis?
Mine is very similar. I mean, I had certain moments, you know, I've shared, you know, the moment in the tree and on Hope Sabbath School many times, but many times in my life, I've thought, there's no way that God, you know, I've just wanted to give up many, many times. And the one thing that keeps me focused is that I know He loves me. Mm-hmm. And that keeps me, it's like, I can't let Him down. I know He loves me. Yeah. It's not, He's not giving up on me. I cannot give up on Him. And that's what keeps me motivated, is His love for me.
Mm. Now, when Jesus left, people say, well, Derek, that was 2,000 years ago, you know, that's awesome. But when Jesus left, He gave us a promise. Mm. And it kind of ties in with that thing about I'm your exceedingly great reward and making a home with us. Remember that? Jesus gave a promise, which maybe someone joining us for Hope Sabbath School today has never heard. They're like, what? I've heard about Jesus, how He healed the sick and cast out demons and showed love to the oppressed. Stephanie, what was that amazing promise? John records it in John 14:1-3. And sometimes maybe we kind of get used to hearing it. Mm. But it's all about, I am your exceedingly great reward, right? Mm. What did Jesus promise?
And the New King James Version puts it this way. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
I was just thinking, the first thought when we go to the New Jerusalem will not be, where is my mansion? It will be,
where's my reward? Jesus.
Where is Jesus? And someone, angel might say, it's going to take a while. There's like a vast multitude.
Long line.
And it's like, it's okay. Yeah. It's okay, right? Because we've got eternity. Mm. And time is not like we think of time now, right? Mm. But I am your exceedingly great reward. So this beautiful promise given to Abraham, who could be afraid because of all of this confederation of foreign kings against him. He could also be afraid, like you said, Jason, that that amazing promise given has not yet been fulfilled. But He's given these two great promises. I am your shield.
Yes.
And I am your exceedingly great reward. Amazing. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 12 again. And let's notice that there's also a promise, not only that the whole world will be blessed through His seed. And that's fulfilled in Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. That's fulfilled in Jesus. And we are children of Abraham by faith in Christ. Mm-hmm. We're children of Abraham, mm-hmm. sons and daughters, amen. According to the promise, right? But notice also what it says in verse 2 of Genesis chapter 12. Mm-hmm. And who'd read that for us? Haiti, do you have chapter 12?
Yes.
And verse 2? What are the promises do you see?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and it says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing.
Now, I was reading in chapter 14, I think it was, where it says that he had lots of gold and he had lots of silver, mm-hmm. okay? And how many servants was he able to get, armed servants, to go with him against the Confederation?
318.
You say, that's a fairly, but it's hardly a great nation, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. He has no children, mm-hmm. right? He's got 318 fighting servants. That's not insignificant. When does that promise start to become visible? That God is taking this family and making them into a great nation. It might be at a time and place that you would not expect. Yes, Billy.
In Egypt, during the Exodus, mm-hmm. When the Israelites were delivered from Pharaoh and they were on their way to the Promised Land.
Oh no, it's before that.
Oh, okay.
Oh yeah, before. It's before that.
I'm thinking of Joseph. when Joseph is sold into slavery in Egypt, because that's in his line.
Right.
And the 7 years of famine, and then, basically the whole earth at that time, you know, they're being blessed because of Joseph's, allegiance to God.
We're getting close. Stephanie's like, I don't think we got there yet. So you've still got this family. It's fairly small family that Joseph's father, Jacob, and the family, if you look up in Genesis, I don't remember exactly how many, but it's a couple of hundred or less. But they come, and what does the Pharaoh do?
Gives them land.
He gives them land, okay? Mm-hmm. Now we're going to pick up the
story.
And I
think there were only like 72 of them or something.
All right,
like that.
Yeah, someone will send us
an email. Someone will send a letter.
Someone will send an email and say there were 72 of them. Okay, so would you consider that a great nation at this point?
No. Mm-mm.
No, okay. No. Jason, if you could go to Exodus chapter 1 and read what happens, verses 6 and 7, the beginning of the book of Exodus.
All right. I have the New King James Version here. Exodus chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. And Joseph died, all his brothers, and all that generation. But the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them.
You say, there it is, great nation. But there's a problem. What's the problem, Stephanie?
Captivity.
What's going to happen?
Captivity. Yeah.
They're going to be enslaved, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because the Egyptians look and say, they are a great nation. Yeah. And they could take over all of Egypt.
That's right.
And so they enslave them, and so we get this time of enslavement, and mm-hmm. it's during that time, you remember when the Pharaoh orders all of those baby boys to be killed?
Yes.
That's the time when Moses comes and the deliverer is provided. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what can we learn from that story? I'll make of you a great nation. Oh, I think we're here. Oh, I don't think we're here. What can we learn from that story?
To wait on the Lord. That sometimes, like, the other problem that I see isn't just that they went into captivity, it's that Abraham didn't live to see it, you know?
That's true, too.
So even though we might not live to see it, or we might have to wait a really long time, like he also had to wait for his son, the promised one.
That's true.
God still keeps his promises. And we
need to
just
trust him. Yeah, he had to wait, 25 years before mm-hmm. Isaac was born, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we've learned that God will keep his promise. Mm-hmm. He'll be faithful even when
we're
not faithful. But it may not come always at the time and in the way that we expect.
Right. Yes.
Travis?
He had also told them that this 400 years was going to happen. So it was mm-hmm. prophesied that that would mm-hmm. take place. So he did let them know that that would happen.
But it seemed like they were a great nation, and then it's all taken away, mm-hmm. right? All of their herds and flocks and freedom.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I want to come back to what Haiti just said. How do we handle disappointment when the promises of God, which we know will be fulfilled because he's faithful, but when they're not fulfilled at a time or in a way that mm-hmm. we had hoped? How do we handle that, Stephanie?
Well, I was thinking disappointments are the result of unmet expectations. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we look at ways that we can answer our prayers for God. And we have our certain expectations. And therefore, the disappointment is a result of our expectations, not necessarily his plan.
And a classic example would be Abraham with Hagar, right? Mm-hmm. With Sarai's servant girl,
yeah.
right? Trying to help God out in that situation.
Exactly.
You use the word wait. There's mm-hmm. there's a scripture song that talks about that in Psalm 27. Mm-hmm. Billy, I wonder if you could read that for us from your translation. In Psalm 27, verses 13 mm-hmm. and 14. By the way, I think that's the psalm, isn't it, that begins, "The Lord is my
light
and my salvation." So it's a confession. You know, I am your
shield.
I'm your shield.
And
your exceedingly great reward. But it may not always happen that the promise is fulfilled at the time and in the way that you were hoping. Mm-hmm. How does the end of that scripture song read in Psalm 27, 13 and 14?
Okay, I'll be reading from the NIV. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord.
You know, my wife would put that to music, and I'm singing that. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. I like the New King James. He will strengthen your heart.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Why does he strengthen my heart? The promise still isn't fulfilled.
That's right.
Yeah.
Why? Why is my heart strengthened even though the promise isn't yet fulfilled?
Because you know God will come through.
Because I've drawn close to God, mm-hmm. and he draws close to me, mm-hmm. and he is my shield and my
exceedingly
great reward. Mm-hmm. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He will strengthen your heart. Well, he does make them a great nation, mm-hmm. a favored nation, and he has a special assignment for them. Mm-hmm. And actually, as the spiritual descendants of Abraham, we also have a special mission mm-hmm. assignment.
That's right.
But let's start with how it's described to the children of Abraham in Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Exodus 19. Travis, if you could begin reading with verses 5 and 6. What was this special mission assignment?
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children mm-hmm. of Israel.
Now, if you just read the first part, you're a special treasure, mm-hmm. How might you respond to that?
Mm. I'm good.
Honored. And
right?
Yeah.
But when it says you are a kingdom of priests, what does that say?
It's almost like you are an intercessor. You know, it's so the priests, they were the ones almost like, you know, presenting the sins of the people towards God and basically pleading for mercy. So they had a spiritual role for the people that they were serving. So it was more than just being like a representative. They were involved in the spiritual lives of the people that they were responsible mm. for.
So you've not only you're not only precious, and that we are, but you have a ministry.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Right?
A duty. Yes. A responsibility.
A responsibility.
Yeah.
Let's see how Isaiah describes that in Isaiah chapter 60. Verses 1 to 3. There are several places where it's very clear that while we speak about God's chosen people, it's not just because he says you're precious to me. Mm. I've got a work for you to do. Mm-hmm. Right? Haiti, do you have Isaiah chapter 60, 1 to 3?
Yes. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And it says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." Mm-hmm.
Was that promise fulfilled by the physical descendants of Abraham?
Mm. Not really. Not no. always.
Could we say sometimes?
Sometimes.
not really, Haiti says. Yeah, there were some shining lights, weren't there? Mm-hmm. There were some that really did. Think of some names. Some people that really the light of God was shining out from them.
Mm. Solomon for a time.
For a short time.
Daniel.
Mm-hmm. Joseph. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, there were Esther. Mm-hmm. There were Hannah, mother of Samuel. Mm-hmm. There were men and women of God who really radiated the glory of God, Jason. Mm-hmm.
And the greatest light was a descendant of Abraham, physical descendant.
And you know, while you were reading that passage, "Arise, shine, for your light has come," does that remind you of anything Jesus said? Because remember, we also yes. have a mission as the spiritual descendants of Abraham, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Does that remind you, Billy, what came to your mind when you heard, arise, shine, for your light has come?
Yeah, I think it's in Matthew 5, talks about that that we are like the a city on the hill, that you know we should let our light so shine so that the whole world could see. So Jesus, in a sense, like repeated the same concept that you know we need to be the light of the world, not that the light is within ourselves, but you know we're connected to God, and therefore we reflect his light to other people.
Yes, do you want to respond to that, Stephanie?
Well, Jesus was in the temple, and they gave him the scripture to read, and he quoted that those verses, and he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing.
So Jesus boldly proclaimed that he was, in fact, doesn't he say in John 8 and verse 12, I am the light of the world. Mm. She or he who follows me will not walk in darkness. You read in Isaiah about in great darkness, right?
Yeah.
But have
the light of life.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's why in Matthew 5, as you pointed out, you are the light of the world. You go, me? If the light of Jesus is in you, right?
That's right.
You are the light of the world. So just as this nation was promised, you're going to be a great nation, you've also got a mission to perform. So with us in this generation, we're a great nation, right? Doesn't it say that somewhere? Where is that? You are a chosen generation.
1 Peter 2:9
The Holy Spirit brought that to our remembrance, right? You are a chosen generation. Haiti, could you read it for us? Do you have the New King James there? How does that read?
Again, New King James Version, and it says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Mm.
That just sounds like a nation of priests. I mean, it sounds just like speaking to the children of Abraham, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. That's what we read. Yeah. And a
holy nation.
For what reason? So we can go around like this? No.
To proclaim the praises of him, Jesus,
who called us out of darkness
and into
his marvelous light. So here's the promise. I am your shield. I am your
exceedingly great reward.
Out of your seed, your descendants will come the Messiah, right? Who's going to bless all the nations.
Yes.
You're going to be a great nation, not just to be great, but to fulfill a mission.
Yes.
And what was the last thing we read there in Genesis 12? I will make your name great. How did God fulfill that promise to Abraham? I will make your name great. Anybody? Yes, Billy?
Oh, no, I take it back. I was thinking of something else.
All right, well, we're wrestling with it here. Did the Lord fulfill that promise to Abraham? Travis?
It would be through his story, isn't it? Through his story?
Absolutely.
He had faith.
Let's take a look at Hebrews 11, can we?
Okay.
Hebrews chapter 11 includes Abraham, as he's later called, father of a multitude. Hebrews chapter 11 includes him in the great, what some call the great hall or the great list of faithful men and women, right? And in Hebrews chapter 11, would you start, Travis, by reading verses 8 through 10, and then Stephanie, I'm going to have you read 17 through 19.
Okay.
Let's start with Hebrews 11, 8 through 10.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of the promise, as in foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which foundations, whose builder and maker is God.
You made it into the great hall of faith there in Hebrews 11. Let's read a little more. In fact, this whole section is about Abraham. But let's look at verses 17 through 19 of that same Hebrews 11.
All right, and I'm continuing on in the New King James Version, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense.
That's an amazing thing. Think about it for a minute. He had faith to believe that if his son died on that mountain, that the Lord would raise him from the dead.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm.
Amen. So much so that in generations that followed, if they saw a man or woman who had great faith in God, they would say, you have faith like
Abraham.
Abraham. God made his name great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tell me some other Bible characters. And by the way, his name was great, not so he'd become proud and conceited, right?
Right. Yeah.
But so the name of the Lord would be honored. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Tell me some other Bible characters. Their names became great because God fulfilled his promise to them.
Daniel.
Who comes to your mind?
Daniel.
What was startling about Daniel that you say, wow, God gave him a great name? Scan the story. We've had a whole series on the book of Daniel. What was it about Daniel that really, wow, God gave him a great name?
That even when the kings, there was a transfer from one king to another king. And
one kingdom to another
one kingdom.
One kingdom,
yeah.
Right?
Yes. Then they still kept him in his position.
Because?
God had blessed him.
The Spirit of God was in him, right?
Yeah.
And that's an amazing story. Anybody else? You say God gave him a great name. Well, we're pretty close. Not far from Abraham is another great man of God named Joseph. How did God give Joseph a great name, which brought honor to the name of the Lord?
Through the famine that had hit Egypt. There was 7 years of famine, and he had predicted through the king's dream that that was going to happen, and he made him second in command, and so they stored up all the grain, and then when the years of famine did come, then Joseph would distribute it out to the people, and so he made his name great, but he also made the name of Egypt great at the time as well.
And this great man, and this is where we want to close, because when God gives you a great name and a circle of influence, what does he want you to do with that great name and circle of influence?
Direct them to God.
Always direct them to the Lord. And how did Joseph do that, even in a position of great honor? How did Daniel do that? Think of those two examples. How did these two men, just like Abraham, given a great name, how did they constantly deflect the praise to the Lord God? Can you think of an example?
Yeah, I think multiple times in Daniel, when they were offering him gifts for revealing the dreams, he always says that it's not within me, it's, you know, it's God that deserves all of that. And in some cases, he rejected the gifts, saying that, you know, God deserves all the glory. So he was a great example of deflecting all glories to God and all credit to God, too.
Mm-hmm. And what about with Joseph? Can you think of an illustration from his life?
The same. When he showed up before the Pharaoh, he was like, I've heard you can interpret dreams. And he was like, I can't. You know, no man can do what you're asking, but there is a God in heaven who can.
And when he comes where he could exercise his power and great name over his brothers, he says, it's God who brought me here.
Yes.
Right? So think about us today. You say, well, we've got so much to be thankful for, right? The Lord is our
shield,
and he is our
exceedingly
great reward. We've got the Messiah, all of the promises there. We've got that he's going to use us to be a great nation too, right? Yeah. With a mission and make our name great.
Yes.
How do we stay humble before God when we see him work in amazing ways? Mm. Yes, Stephanie.
Make sure that you protect the time you have for God each day. Protect that time, because I I can assure you that he speaks to you at that time, and he will keep you humble in a very gentle way. But making sure, truly, even Daniel did that. He made sure, even in the midst of possibly a decree of death, he still prayed and spent time with God. Critical.
Beautiful. You were referencing Daniel chapter 6.
Yes.
Yeah. How do we stay humble before him? We keep focused on him and saying, you are my
shield.
And you are my
exceedingly great
reward. And if God gives you a great name and gives you a special mission, I like what you said, Stephanie, by taking that quiet time with him every day, turn your eyes upon him, not upon the mirror, right? Don't look in the mirror. Look to him.
Yes.
And give him all of the honor, all of the glory for what he has done. My friends, there are so many promises. We are children of the promise.
Amen.
All of the promises of God are for us through Christ Jesus our Lord. Wouldn't it be a tragedy if we walked away? If we didn't open our hearts and trust that he's faithful. I know the timing may not always be what we would like or the setting where we would like it, but God will be faithful to his promises. We've seen that in our study today. Maybe you have a testimony you'd like to share with us how God has been faithful to his promise to you. I'd love to hear from you. You can write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. Say, Derek, here's how God's been faithful to me, even perhaps when I was not faithful to him. He's a great and awesome God, isn't he?
Amen.
Let's pray to him just now. Our Father in heaven, thank you that you're faithful to all of your promises. And thank you that we, through faith, are children of the promise. We praise you and we pray that as you bless and as you lift us up, we would always give all of the honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. You can walk out with a lighter step and say, I'm a child of the promise. All of the promises of God through Jesus are for you. Accept his immeasurable, unfailing love and go out and be a blessing to those around you.